Well, Father, first of all, we love you, and we just know how much you love us and that you loved us first and gave your only begotten Son on our behalf so that we can have direct access to you. And we're so grateful for that, that we can walk and talk with the one true God throughout all of our lives. And on top of that, you call us your sons and you make us your children. And we're just so blessed. Thank you so much for giving us power from on high, and that we can live in this day and time with great resources to go through life abundantly, not just barely making it through, but we can live with such great abundance. Bless our nation, this wonderful country that we were born into. We could have been born somewhere else, but we were born here. And we're very grateful that we live in a free country, that a sovereign nation, and that even though the powers that be are trying to steal that from us, we can stand against it. We can claim that in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil and the devil spirit kingdom and all his minions cannot wreak havoc on this country. They cannot steal our freedoms. They cannot steal our sovereignty because we refuse to allow them to do so. And so I command now in the name of Jesus Christ that the devil must flee. He has no power here. And he has to obey. So get out now in the name of Jesus Christ. And all these people that are perpetrating these awful schemes to steal, kill, and destroy, that they fall into their own traps. They hang on their own nooses, figuratively. And I continue, Father, to open people's eyes that they can see truth. Continue to expose truth, that people can clearly see it, and they choose good and godliness over evil and satanic crap. Bless our children, Father. Continue to work in their hearts and raise them up to become the men and women that you've called them to be so that they stand courageous and faithful in their day and time. And then the next generation after that and after that and after that. And that our lives do make a difference because of our stand, even though it seems very small sometimes, and who we talk to on a daily basis, it really does make a huge impact on the world. Protect our President, Donald Trump, and his family. Keep them from harm. Keep him on your side. Work in his heart, Father, to give him great courage, wisdom, strength, and a great humbleness to you, but great boldness towards people when it's necessary. Bless our state, Colorado, and bless Illinois. And keep the evil ones from racking and ruining our states. Keep the globalists from taking over our country. And work in the hearts, especially of the Christian community, Father, that their eyes are open and they're not deceived by religious spirits into thinking that your son is God, because he's not. As wonderful of a man as he is and was, he is not you. And he came to make you known. He came to make it available for us to have a direct connection with God Almighty, not to pray to him, but to pray to you. So we thank you for the truth that we know. We thank you for this fellowship here today, for giving us all great healings in our life, and that, again, we can just walk and talk with you so freely, and you just know who we are. We love you dearly. In Christ's name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for a wonderful day today with the beautiful sunshine we've given us on the wonderful glistening snow outside. And Father, just give us what we need in this life, Father. Give us good health. Lead us in a good way. Give us freedom in this country. Give us prosperity. Protect us from our enemies. And just give us, just show us your great love and wisdom in our lives, Father. And Father, I thank you that we can hear from you right now by way of manifestations of the Spirit, how you've given each and every one of us that gift of Holy Spirit, and we can speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, we can heal the sick, we can cast out demons, we can bring miracles to pass, and you've just given us many great powers, Father, and I thank you that we can operate that Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And so, would somebody please have a word of prophecy?
Go forth, dear children, and walk with me, walk hand in hand with me, knowing that I am with you. I have provided a great light for your path so you don't need to stumble. I've given you your hope and aspirations. And I've given you my word so you can not only have my wisdom, but you can have my promises. So walk forth hand in hand with me.
And yea, of a truth, my children, know that I am the Almighty God. There are no gods before me. All the other gods in this world are false gods. So look unto me, my children, for I am the one and only true God, the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, and I am the one who put Holy Spirit in your hearts. I am the one who walks and talks with you daily. I am the one that has a personal relationship with you so that you and I together can walk forth and defeat Satan on a daily basis. And Diane, would you have a word of prophecy?
For I have called you to be my very own people. I have placed within you my spirit, which is great power from on high. So go forth boldly, knowing that the things of this world are temporary, but the things of God are eternal. And that I back you up in every situation as you stand upon my word. So fear nothing in this day and time, but know that I am with you, I walk and talk with you, and I prepare a great place for you for all eternity.
Well, thanks, Dad, for what a wonderful God you are and the wonderful things you do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, today, I want to teach on an interesting topic. Was Jesus a socialist? Because you see, there's a lot of places in the Gospels where Jesus Christ talks about helping the poor. And so people will take that scripture and they'll say, well, see, he was concerned about the poor, so he was a socialist. And so socialism is compassionate. Socialism helps the poor, and Jesus would approve of socialism. Well, first of all, there was no socialism 2,000 years ago. That form of government had not been invented yet. You had kings, which last month I discussed, and we talked about how bad the kings were. And a lot of bad things would happen under the kings. But it turns out socialism is like took all the evil the kings could do and like multiply it by 100. It's a whole lot worse. In the 20th century, socialism was responsible for killing 200 million people. Now, we're not sure the exact number because that could be off 20 million. I mean, that's how many people died and they didn't keep records. And a lot of times we hear, you know, we think of socialism only being communism. Well, there's a lot of forms of socialism. In Germany in the 1930s and 40s, you had what they called the Nazi Party, and they tell us that that was actually not socialist, that it was fascist. Well, the word Nazi translated into English, it was the National Socialist Workers' Party. So they were socialists. They called themselves socialists. And it's very interesting, in the 20th century, the socialists, like the Germans, when they were losing World War II, they had to decide, do we allocate resources to the military to try and win the war, or do we allocate resources to the death camps to continue to kill people? And they chose the death camps over the military time and time again. In Russia, when they were fighting the Cold War against this, they had, there's a great book called Gulag Archipelago. There's a couple different ways to pronounce Arpegalo, Archipelago. I'm not sure which is the correct pronunciation. I think it's one of those things that has multiple pronunciations. Anyway, it was written by Solzhenitsyn, and he won the Pulitzer Prize. And it's not an easy book to read. It details in detail what it's like to be in a Russian death camp. And Russia had to allocate a lot of resources to to put these people in death camps, and they were fighting the Cold War, and they're trying to put money into the military, and they're trying to keep their economy going. But what their highest priority was the death camps. So the Bible says you are known by your fruits. And the fruits of socialism, it seems like their number one goal is to kill their own people. And currently now in Venezuela, we were talking before about Venezuela, people are trying to escape Venezuela and get into other neighboring countries. And those other neighboring countries in South America don't like it. But in Venezuela, they have no pets because they ate them all. They were starving to death. There's no pets in Venezuela. They all got eaten. They have no toilet paper. They ran out of toilet paper years ago, and they have none. So simple things like that we take for granted, they don't have. And again, people suffer. People are dying. The doctors, if you're a doctor in Venezuela, it's illegal to put on the death certificate starvation, because most of the people are dying from starvation. And so they're known by their fruits. So I'm teaching this in a whole different order than I wrote my scriptures down, but that's all right. Let's go to John 10:10. Here's a scripture we've all heard many times before. And it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So if socialism always steals and kills and destroys, then Jesus would have been for stealing, killing, and destroying, because that's what socialism does. But instead, he said, "I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." See, there is no abundance under socialism. You always run out of... Because if you redistribute wealth, then what happens is you got a few people with a lot of money and not many people with... You take it from them, and they're not going to produce anymore if you're taking 95%. What's that old song by George Harrison from the Beatles in the 60s? Taxman? He was complaining because the Beatles were making a lot of money. Well, first of all, most of the money they made was taken by record companies and producers and promoters. So they were getting a small fraction of what their record sales and their concerts actually took in. And then that, when they got that, they were in a 95% tax bracket. So they'd get paid $20 and they'd have a dollar. The other 19 would go to taxes. That's how bad that was. And so they were complaining, you know, and it's like, this is not fair. And so basically, socialism doesn't spread wealth. Socialism spreads poverty. You know, and you end up getting stealed, killed, and destroyed, and it's not good. And I'm sure, you know, if people want to chime in, you know, this is a discussion here. It's not just me talking. So let's go to Luke chapter 18. And we'll start in verse 18. And see, this is one of the reasons why people think that Jesus was a socialist. They twist the stuff that was said here. "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" And this is interesting. Jesus, the first thing he said was, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Then he said, you know the commandments. "Don't commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." The guy said, "Well, I've done all these since I was a youth." And Jesus heard these things, and he said unto him, "Yet you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, this is sort of a unique instance There is no law in the Old Testament that says you can't have wealth and you have to give all your money to the poor. But what happened is Jesus Christ got revelation and he saw this guy was rich and God said, you know, this guy doesn't own his money. His money owns him. And I've known people like that in my life, people that had a lot of money and they were in bondage to the money they had. And it's really sad. There's nothing wrong, inherently wrong with money. It's rather what you do with it. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And then our people in our culture quote it and they say money is the root of all evil. And see, there's nothing wrong with money. It's when you love it. And this guy must have had a problem with loving it.
And quite often the people that say that money is the root of all evil are very, very wealthy and they're trying to get the money from people.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't need all that money. Give some to me.
Well, there's a verse in the Old Testament, I forget where it is, and it talks about money being a shadow. And it's not the money, it's the power. And people want power. Because if I have a $1,000 cigar and I'm lighting it with a $100 bill, then it's that cigar and that, you know, lighter, that's showing that I have power and that I can lord it over people, and you know, and it's that's what it's about. So where was I here? I was in verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful because he was very rich.